Welcome to the Elevation Church Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Ryan Kibbe. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit elevationchurchwisconsin.com.
Right. Good morning. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. How many of you love Mr. Rogers? It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Anyway, would you be mine? No, that's kind of awkward. Coffee. I need more coffee. All right, let's pray. Let's make this legal. At the end of this service, about 10 minutes prior to the end of service, we are going to bring up Pastor Dennis Nonnemacher, who is going to unpack. He's been working on our mission strategy for quite a while now, and they are embarking on our first Elevation Church missions initiative to Israel. So he's going to talk to you about that, super excited about that, and then we're going to receive a love offering for them. All right? Amen. Wow, that was loud. Let's pray. Amen. Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name that the word that is about to proceed from my mouth will not return void. It is the heart of the Father. It is the heart of the Holy Spirit. And it was modeled by Jesus, who is our model. And everything he did, we can do and we will in Jesus' name. Amen. Faith brings answers. Enduring faith brings answers with character. Grace is free, but spiritual maturity is expensive. We don't work for grace. We work from grace. God didn't just die so that we could sit, soak, and sponge. He actually had a plan for eternity, and he brought that world to this world. And here's what I want to go after today. The word increase has been perverted to build more mansions in this world. But the word increase has also been abdicated to a place far and far, one day that we attain to. Doctrines and people and teachings have been built that abdicate one error in favor of another error. Can I just tell you, he wants increase of the increase of his kingdom, his government, and his peace. There will be no end on earth as it is in heaven. And since we are in Christ, we live there from eternity and bring it here. The reason we know that is in Ephesians. And Ephesians tells us that we are right now sitting with him in heavenly realms, right now with him there and bringing it here. It means that you and I are not a victim. I just got to warn you, I was here Friday, and warning that Friday I wasn't preparing for the message. I was preparing the atmosphere for this message, and I was Jericho marching, I was foot stomping, I mean, it was embarrassing. If you would have seen me, it was absolutely embarrassing. I mean, it was just like, who is this guy? He's absolutely possessed, and I just want you to tell you I am, and if something manifests sometime in this service, just buckle up, Dorothy, you're not in Kansas anymore. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that God rewards our faith because he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder. God is a rewarder. We don't earn grace to get his favor. We work from his favor that he already gave us, and he brings us grace to bring increase. I want to talk to you about the reality of reward. If I abdicate all reward to eternity, I fail to do anything in this lifetime. If I abdicate all reward to this lifetime, I fail to live with eternity in mind. There is tension between the two because that's the way it's supposed to be. We are gatekeepers from his world to this world. And so it changes the options of everyone around us when we begin to live with that perspective. One of the things that you've heard me say this year is that I am after a culture that runs deep. I'm not interested and building a megachurch that's a mile wide and an inch deep. I'm interested in global transformation that begins with personal transformation on the inside out and bleeds out into every area of influence. I just say that about every week, don't I, Susan? Every single sermon that I talk up here, I'm talking about it. Why? Because it's on the Father's mind. He's after increase. All throughout Scripture, discipleship, pruning, increase. You know, the reason he prunes us is he told us in John 15, preached a sermon on that several weeks ago, first part of the series. He prunes us so that he can multiply his influence in our life. So he subtracts and reduces things so that he can bring multiplication. Everywhere Jesus went, he multiplied things. In the entire New Testament, grace and peace be multiplied to you. You see it all throughout Scripture, grace and peace being multiplied. The Lord is into multiplication. He's not so much a fan of division. What would it be like to live in a world here where the church is known for multiplication and not division? I want you to turn to your Bibles to Acts 12. There's two things that I've been after when we're talking about a culture runs deep. I've been challenging you when you come to church and then when you leave church, two things I want you to consider. Don't just come for the individual word that the Lord is giving you right now. He will absolutely speak to your life right now for you personally. But the mistake that the church globally has made is that we emphasize eternity at the cost of the present reality, but we don't talk about the reality here. Sometimes we talk about it too much that we forget eternity. Can I just tell you, the reality of the reward is both. Don't sell yourself cheap. You have something to say. You have something to do. And Acts 12 shows us the blueprint. It's called grace with responsibility. Jesus paid it all at the cross so that we could be free from sin, sickness, and death, that we could live eternally. He didn't say that that was for just that day, one day when we're in heaven. He actually changed our options in the here and now. And he wants to bring invitation for mass conversion so that the people of God rise to who he called them to be in this lifetime. And just in case you're really struggling with that concept, I've got a lot of scriptures to back what I'm saying. Acts chapter 12. When you come to church, start asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, what word do you have for me personally? And then ask the Lord, what word do you have that I can get in unity with the body that the Lord is speaking to us corporately? See, we got to think different. Pastor Julie said it earlier, think differently. That's exactly right. We come sometimes too much in the head and not in the heart when the Holy Spirit wants to ignite you and bring that heart on fire for what he's doing. And there are things that eat at our affections and distractions and energy suckers and all of that. I want to tell you what I believe is a blueprint to the greatest end time revival we've ever seen. And it's in Acts 12. So I want to go to there. It's not the only thing, but I absolutely believe it's the heart of the Father in our time. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Let me pause right there. One of the problems that we face in our culture is that we have people that live for the applause of men. And we feed it through salacious rhetoric from pulpits and politicians who pander to non-kingdom messages. Why? Because it feeds the political spirit. I'm going to tweak some thought processes here, especially in election seasons. Because the political spirit wants to bring division. The kingdom of God is a unification process. But just so you know, by the way, God is not Republican, Democrat, Independent, or Autocrat. He's Lord. Just feels good to say. Feels good to say. And actually, don't need your applause. Thank you. He approves. He approves. You can applause, but this message isn't for applause. What I'm after is for a thought process that begins to see how the church can globally mobilize, not just individually. Let me reemphasize this. Eternity has to be our focal point. Heavenly realms has to be our focal point. Jesus is the cornerstone of all thought as our focal point. Not what society is doing, not what politicians are doing, not what culture is doing, but the focal point is eternity, and we drive it from that world back to this world. That's our focal point. And in this place, Herod is pandering to things in this world. He's stirring up division. He's bringing all kinds of junk to the church. He's creating this martyrdom thing. All of this is happening. But you notice it says that James was martyred, and watch the church's response. And I want to say the church's, not the individual's response. Not one or two, but watch what happens. Verse 4. When they had seized him, Peter, they put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently. Say fervently. Fervently by the church to God. In Hebrews, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently, fervently. Diligently, fervently. Personal word, corporate word. This is important. Verse 6. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow. And he did not know that was being done by the angel was actually real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jewish people were expecting." And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying, and where many were gathered together and praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. And they said to her, "You're out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so, and they kept saying, "It's his angel." I mean, let me stop right there. How intense was the early church's focus that they are expecting an angel? I mean, can you imagine? They're like, how close to the Lord were they? We're like, no, that's not Peter, that's his angel. Food for thought. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. Has anyone in this house ever been shocked by an answered prayer? Have any of you ever been so astonished that the thing that you've been fervently and diligently and fervently and diligently and fervently and diligently prayed for over time with enduring faith, when the answer doesn't come, when the circumstance doesn't line up, when the people aren't doing what you want them to do, and all of a sudden, bam, the diligently and the fervently gets answered. Here's a message for the church at large. Let's stop celebrating the discipline of prayer when we don't get answered prayer, and let's start celebrating, instead of the discipline of prayer, let's start celebrating answered prayer, because that's why we pray. We pray to get answers, to bring solutions to problems, to bring his world to this world. We don't pray to say, "Look at me, I'm praying." Awfully quiet in here. How many of you know sometimes the discipline of prayer can feel good, but you get no answered prayers, and we lose perseverance because we lose our focus. Because we lose our focus because we have distractions, because things eat at our affections. These are some of the concepts I'm going to go after this morning. The early church was rifled in. They were focused. They were set there. They just like Jesus set his eyes, he was running after that target, which was the cross. And the Bible says he set his eyes like flint. He was on mission. He was on purpose. There was one thing he was after, and that was it, the salvation of everybody. You know, the reason that Jesus didn't teach us about unanswered prayer is because he never had one. Somebody get excited about unanswered prayer. I want to get excited about answered prayer. I prayed for a blind eye. It opened. I didn't form theologies making me feel better. Hi, Pastor Dennis. How are you? How am I doing? A plus. Okay, amen. How many of you want answered prayer? How many know it's the heart of God to get results? I'd call that increase. His world to this world. Now, I want you to see something in that portion of scripture. We're talking about a church. Notice what happens. The church was not praying at Herod. The church was praying for Peter. They were known what they were praying for, not what they were praying at. So it goes something like this. In their prayer circles, well, I don't know about President Obama, President Trump, Hillary Clinton, blah, 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 my senator, my mayor, my this and that. I'm just guising my prayer language. It's just really complaining from the language of hell, but I just want to guise it as a prayer focus, and so we're going to talk about what God isn't doing. All talk, no power. Do you want results? Change what you speak. They prayed for Peter corporately. Jesus came, his mission was to bring salvation. Yes? We've reduced it to just say a prayer and go to heaven, and that's it. What Jesus is after is full transformation. He's interested in discipling nations. He's interested in the abundance of cities coming under the influence of heaven. That's what he died for, to bring on earth as it is in heaven. And in that context of relationship, we can have it here, not just there. And the greatest mass conversion, the ripest atmosphere of that is an atmosphere of peace, because that's the atmosphere of heaven. And the way the church brings peace is not by speaking at leaders, at government officials, at pastors. It's praying and interceding for them. Personal experience. I have had time and again. Listen, these leaders, many of you have been there. How many of you have ever had a weighing decision to make? Weighs on your heart. And it could go both ways, this way, that way, this way, that way. And you bring it in advisors and you're asking, and there's this shroud of confusion and cloudiness. How many of you have been there trying to weigh out a decision? And these leaders, they have to pull from options. And all of a sudden the warfare is like swirling birds. And this person has a thought, this person has a thought. What I'm suggesting is this, because it's worked in my life. Instead of praying at the leaders, here's what you pray. Father, in Jesus' name, teach me how to pray. Teach me to pull from the kingdom realm, not calling from another spirit and another kingdom to bring fire down upon them. Because if we use that spirit, we have to go to another kingdom, not Jesus' kingdom, to make change happen. That's the partnership with the language of hell. The partnership with the kingdom is thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, give Hillary Clinton divine strategies and ideas that reflect a godly focus. Father, give Donald Trump a reflective focus where he can get God ideas that begin to shape an atmosphere ripe for a mass conversion of Christianity. Are you with me? You seeing what I'm saying?
The church is known for what they are praying at. Today, we change the focus and we pray for, we intercede for. It's worked in my life. Many of you have prayed behind my back for years.
Years. I've watched people come up to me. I'm telling our team, I'm just using this as a personal example.
There have been times I'm like, hey, team, I got this great idea. We've been praying behind your back about that for about 6 months. Why did you just finally wake up and see it? Because you interceded for me. That's why. You didn't belittle me. You didn't berate me. You created an opportunity for the cloud of shroud to be removed. And I pulled divine options and God moves. This is for you too. It works for you. Start praying for people, not interceding at them, and bring increase in every area. See, we're so myopic. We only see ourselves. We're just like, I just want a personal word for me today at church. Just a personal word, just a personal word. Here's a word. It's Jesus and everybody, and he saves everybody. He wants everybody. He wants the atmosphere of heaven to permeate everybody. Even people you don't like. And I would argue, especially people you don't like.
Heaven approves this message.
Peter was set free. And that's a prototype of what God can do with a church that's sold out to bringing atmosphere from his world to that world. Now, let me give you another verse that ratifies and solidifies what I'm saying. Go to 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. See, what the early church knew, and we need to capture, is that any message worth dying for, any message worth living for is worth dying for. They didn't have casual tiptoe Christianity and, if you would just come in. I know we went 32 minutes on the sermon today. We're so sorry we went 33 minutes. We're so sorry we went 45 minutes in worship. We're so sorry for saying something that would offend you. Well, get over that, because Jesus was very offensive to all of culture. He just offended everybody. So just get over that one. And he interceded for us. He was not pulling accusation at us. He's our model, not your politicians, not your parents, not anyone else. Jesus is our model, and he is the great intercessor. So in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it says, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. That includes the ones you don't like. For kings and who are all in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This was a prayer focus. In those days, Nero was on a warpath, the emperor of Rome. He was beheading Christians. And Paul is saying, intercede and pray for these leaders. He was trying to refine their focus and say, church, we need to be a culture that runs deep. We need to be a culture that runs deep. Casual Christianity isn't an option, because if you say yes to Jesus in this culture, it's going to cost you something. I've given you grace, but I've given it with responsibility. And your yes may cost you your life. But in doing so, we will change the very atmosphere around us. We have to learn how to die to personal self-gain. Listen, if you got a pull on greed, greed is very, very similar to the mindset of a thief. Because you want to pull out of season what was not in season. You want to pull out of season what? So that's kind of like saying, okay, I'm just going to take out, I only make 10 bucks a year, but I'm going to buy a $400,000 home. God's not going to reward that. Why? Because he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I mean, anybody can go out and get into extreme debt and call that heaven's blessing. That's not the blessing of heaven. What he's saying to us is that This idea of reward and sacrifice, this idea of reward, he's saying, first of all, pray for all of your leaders. Pray for the government. Pray for your pastors. Pray for those in family situations. Pray for the end of fatherlessness and the rise of fathers. Pray for all of these things. Pray for your sciences, your arts. Pray for the entertainment industry. Intercede for them. Celebrate what God's doing. Ask God to bring divine strategies. I mean, how many of you have seen the media change a little bit in Hollywood? There's some more faith-based, heaven, divine, identity-based films that are being made that say our value and our worth, even if it doesn't have a Christian tag on it. Anybody watch Star Wars? Great message. Star Wars Force Awakens. Rey, she becomes who she was born to be. God can speak to us through culture. Can speak to us through any of that. The point is that we create atmospheres for the peace of heaven to fall, and then we step into what he's doing and lead others and bring salvation. I mean, the church was amazed that Peter showed up the door. Can you imagine how amazed we would be if an entire city collapsed under the goodness of God? And here's what I'm focused on and on mission is I'm not focused on what was behind the mistakes that I've personally made. I'm focused on getting his thoughts, his heart on mission on earth as it is in heaven for Green Bay, for Elevation Church. And I'm going to celebrate every advancement of the kingdom and every church expression in this city to get what he wants. Because I know and you know it's not about me. It's about his word. It's about his mission. It's about his heart for the people. And he's looking for a church that is united, celebrating what he is doing and what he is saying. Not what the other church isn't doing. Or this church isn't doing. Little tip for our leaders. We'll just leave it there. If you're working with or serving with a leader in this church or at your job or wherever you are, fervently intercede for God's best and ask for the heart of God to speak to you, giving them a word of knowledge that's not manipulative. It's not looking and seeking your gain. It's seeking the gain of the kingdom. And ask for God to give clarity and to remove the fog from them so that they can step into it and win. That's the heart of God. That's your prayer focus here. And by the way, leaders are not above correction. If you're a leader in any realm, you are not. You are responsible for taking extreme ownership of what isn't going right. So if you're a leader, when you're missing it, you need to own it. That's discipleship. And what God does is he removes things. He removes things. He prunes you. And then all of a sudden, there's a tipping point, and then the leaders are able to see in the land what they're doing and what they're missing. God raises up reformers all the time. I suggest that we get on board with what he's doing. You and I are reformers in this hour. I said, you and I are reformers in this hour. And hello? You are reformers in this hour. Martin Luther had a revelation of that. So can you. When we partner with things out of season, I'm going to go back to this. The things that rob our affection, greed comes in many forms. It's trying to take what is out of season and bring it into season. And the thief mindset is exactly that. It's just not legally yours to obtain at that moment. So when you're crying out to God and you're getting unanswered prayer, one of the things I've learned to do is, and I've done this over the years, I've been praying big, audacious, amazing prayers, and the Lord will come up gently beside me and go, snip, what did I do? And he goes, you're praying for something that's out of season, and you cannot bear the weight of that answered prayer at this moment. I need to shape your character and prune it, and then you will be in position to actually carry the weight of my answered prayer. Some of you are praying for things that he's not ready to give you because you're not ready to take it. And in an atmosphere of love and grace in a city, can you imagine an entire city under the divine influence of the master? not to create robots, not to create automatons, but because he wants to reward those who diligently seek him. There will always be two trees in the garden on this planet. You will always have the option to do what he's doing or what he's not doing. There's always, why? Because it reveals the Father's heart. I'm a dad. I love it when my kids do the right thing. I heard it this week from a couple of my kids. They had these situations, these things that they just had to navigate. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they did that unprovoked. They look just like me. They sound just like me. I'm like, that's awesome. We're not perfect, but it's like, yay. And they owned where they missed it. And they said things, and that's, I love that. I love that about our kids. But you know what? I'm proud of them, and I want to reward that. Not because they need to earn my love. I already love them. It gives me great pleasure to reward my kids. How much more a Heavenly Father? The church has done a bad PR job on the heart of the Father. The heart of the Father is to bring increase and blessing and abundance in every area of our life. But our thinking has to change. We have to get in line with what he's saying and what he's doing, not what we always feel like. When we gather, our focus is his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The challenge comes when we fight for our right to be right. The early church was focused on getting people saved, healed, delivered, and activated. It's back to the basics. Saved, they came to Jesus. Healed, they got emotionally and physically restored. Delivered, they get out of jail. Peter was a form of deliverance there. He was in jail. He was a prisoner. He was a captive, and he was set free. The Lord is speaking to you and I and saying, I want you to fulfill Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you to go out and break the prisoners free, to set free the captives, and to disciple cities and bring the kingdom to every nation on earth. That's our goal. That's our focus. And God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, that's on this life. You can read. In fact, I'm going to read them to you real quick. And if you don't have your Bibles, write these scriptures down. I mean, if we ignore the issue of multiplication, reward, and increase, if we're just here to just have Pentecostal parties every weekend, we've missed it. The idea is that we're going after increase and ignoring the issue of reward, that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That costs us. It costs us if we don't go after that. Because then we end up communicating a God who is a taskmaster. And he loves and delights to celebrate on what we do. I need you to see that. He is going to celebrate in eternity with us about all that we did under his power, his presence, his love, and his authority. But he also wants to celebrate with you here. He wants to see results on planet Earth right here, right now. Not for a day where you could abdicate your responsibility and call that grace. That's not grace. That's just the spirit of stupid. That was a strong word. I want his world. And I don't care if I run over your emotions to get it. I love you, but we need to wake up and get it. A couple of scriptures. I want you to set your eyes on eternity. These are the scriptures that back that. Mark 10. Truly I say to you, this is Jesus talking, no one who's left house, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, farms. Donnie, you don't have to leave your farm, brother. I love your farm. Pastor Bob, I love your farm. No one who's left all that for my sake and the gospel's sake, he will receive 100 times as much now in the where? Hello? In the present age? Yeah. Houses, brothers, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. 1 Corinthians 3:12. talks about wood, hay, and stubble, and building a foundation of gold, silver, and precious stones. Gold, silver, and precious metal in Paul's day was the garnishment of royalty. Houses were built for emperors with that, and meaning that if you were royalty, this was what the foundation was built on. The foundation of slavery was wood, hay, and stubble. Those houses were built for slaves. How many know you're not a slave? How many know you're royalty? How many know your royalty? How many know your royalty? Your treasure is in heaven. The scripture says that our treasure is in heaven. That means we're laying up and storing up treasures in heaven, that we're already here and we're already there. And God is saying to us, build a firm foundation that is gold, precious metals, and silver. And when the fire comes, which is persecution in this world, the things that are built to last will stand. That means the church that we're building today, if it's 100 or 200 generations from now before Christ comes back, oh my gosh, look at what Elevation Church did. Look at what every church did in Green Bay. Look at all the churches who rose up and said, we are who he says we are, and we created a ripe atmosphere for a mass conversion of Christianity that affected the nations because of one decision to build on a right foundation. Because they had eternity in mind. They weren't living for self right now and Netflix and binge this and greed that. They were living for him. And they were so possessed by that, they took responsibility with the free grace that they were given. I don't have time to get into this, but if you study the parable of the minas and talents, in one of those discourses, it's referring to money, but basically he was saying, how you handle money, I'll make you a governor of cities. So you handle this well, we'll let you govern cities. Translation, what you do with what you have brings increase to what's to come. So what are we building? You want to pray for me, pray for our team, pray for our leaders? Here's your focus. Father, bring the wisdom of heaven over Ryan. I can tell you, bring it over our team. Bring it over our pastors, our leaders. You want me to get it right? Many of you I've talked to over the years and said, man, I was just waiting for you to wake up. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Right back at you. I love you. You love me. Isn't that a family? But don't pray the complaining problem. That's the language of hell. Pray the solution, for God's divine strategy is to bring his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm not preaching that to you out of insecurity or because I do y'all hear my heart? That's not why I'm saying that. I'm saying it because what we do together with what we say, what we pray, and what we do as a team affects an atmosphere. And that's why sometimes over the years when people walk in here, they're like, man, I just feel such peace. Why? Because we create an atmosphere with him, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And this idea of reward in heaven, when we stand before him as believers in Christ on that day, when we leave this world to go to be with him, the thing that he's going to see is a reward. We will stand before him, and we will see all that we did in partnership with him. The seed that you sowed in another church where many people came to Christ, the other places you've been. I was telling our team this. I mean, some of you have been to multiple churches. Do you realize that you have eternal reward in heaven for building the kingdom in every house you've ever affected, regardless of any hurts that were built up, wood, hay, and stubble that get burned out? The thing that's built to last is that people got saved, people got healed, and people got delivered. Everything else burns up. I'm just about ready to land the plane. We have a right to believe God for abundant increase. In order to do that, we have to be willing to be pruned. And he begins to subtract things. So what is it in your life? What is it that is distracting you from refining your focus and making the main thing the main thing? Let me ask you a question. How many of you have actually thought about this week eternity in mind? I can tell you, I have. I was just at a friend who I was a part of serving on a team at my previous church, and good man. And I prayed. The doctors have not given him a lot of time. And I looked at them, and my heart, Like, God, I don't know what to do. I know what to do. And I said, I'm going to pray for a creative working miracle because that's what I know to do. But I said, no matter what, with eternity in mind, either way, you win because you'll be with Jesus there and you'll be with him here. But I refuse with bulldog and tenacity to give you up just to say it's God's will. Heck no, I'm going to go after a creative working miracle right there on death's door and I'm going to win either way. You're going to win. Either way, this disease does not take you out. That's the kind of focus we have to have. We're all going to die one day. But I had eternity in mind. I'm asking you, do you have eternity in mind? Discipleship is not just come. It's come, get equipped, and go to affect nations in Jesus' name. Would you stand? I'm going to pray over you real quick, and then Pastor Dennis is going to come up. We're going to receive our missions initiative. We're on mission. Here, there, everywhere. Pastor Dennis is creating opportunities for us, initiatives, both local strategies. I'm going to tell you what, he is a brilliant strategist. I'm happy he's a part of our family, and I'm learning from him. I'm learning from a lot of you. And by the way, that's answered prayer. Sometimes God answers prayer in seed form. He brings it in the gifts of people who bring strategies that you haven't thought of. So keep praying, keep praying. Would you close your eyes? And then I'm going to bring Pastor Dennis up. Who are you praying with corporately? Are you? Who are you praying with? Who are you interceding with at home, not just on Sundays? Who are you fervently going after? I had a brother this week tell me it's been a while. He went to several restaurants, saw God validate through testimony several healings in the marketplace, gave some encouraging words this week. That's eternity in mind. We all have that capability, but it starts with an atmosphere with increase in mind. We can't stay the same. We have to go there. We can't stay here. And we refine our focus with simplicity to get what he wants. But have you thought about eternity this week? With heads bowed, eyes closed, I just want to ask you a question. Do you really know the miracle-working, unrelenting, unmeasurable, unfair, completely unfair goodness of God in your life? Do you know Jesus that way? Or do you know a religious Jesus that never answers prayers and is a taskmaster? Because if you know him that way, today is your day to get delivered from that mindset. Today is the day that you get ignited with answered prayers. Today is the day that everything shifts because I'm decreeing it. Because this past week, on Friday, I went around shouting, screaming, praying for you, praying for every saint that walks into this house, praying for every human being that steps foot on this land, that they would step in here and get completely rocked by the love of Jesus, that they would get knocked off their feet, that all their foul-ups, their hiccups, their bleeps, and their blunders would fall solid to the ground, that they would stare these problems with opportunity in mind, that we can advance the kingdom, that they would come here getting excited and pregnant for what God is doing in our city, and they would not, with unrelenting focus, they would not change the subject. They would not change the subject until God's will is done. That's my prayer for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you honor Pastor Dennis, please? I'm going to give you the comm, sir. He's going to talk to you about Israel, and then we're going to receive an offering here in just a moment. If you are making it out by check, you can do that as you prepare. You can make it out to Elevation Missions in the little memo section, and every dime of that will go to this initiative.
Hello. Oh, that's a little loud. Good morning. What an awesome teaching, Pastor. That was. You really kind of messed me up here. This is a very special day for Elevation Church, and it's people leave bookmarks in our life and. Events leave bookmarks in our life. There are days that we never forget. For me and for other people here in the church, this is a very, very special day. It's a bookmark. For months, I was wondering why the Lord was sending us back to Green Bay, Wisconsin, from Indiana, where we lived for the past 15 years. And when we arrived at Elevation Church, it was really, really clear that we would be able to help build some sort of a missions program, that we would be able to help the church reach out globally and locally. And so today is very special because we're going to pray for a team that's going to Israel, a team that's going to the place where the foundation of the world began, to a place where the cornerstone was laid for everything that we believe. And we have five people going from this church. It's the very, very first church, very first team that's going on a missions trip since we've been here. And we want to pray for them, and we want to send them off with the blessing of Elevation Church. That's the first part. The second part of what I want to share with you today is that while I was praying this week, the Holy Spirit showed me something really, really special about Elevation Church and about what's really going on here related to global initiative. Because one of the people that's going on this trip is only 6 years old. Her name is Serenity Peterson. Callie Peterson and Serenity, and Gabby and Haley are joining me and another gentleman from Indiana, and we're going to Israel. But when I was praying about the team and the people, the Lord said to me that Serenity is going to Israel because God called her. Not because she's a preacher's kid or she has some sort of advantage. She's a forerunner to new leadership that's rising up in the church. You really need to get that because this is really important for us. That little girl is a forerunner for new leadership that'll rise up. And remember, God thinks generationally. And this new leadership, the Lord said to me, is going to bring fresh revelation. Going to bring power in his presence that we've never seen before. And this is going to bring creativity that we've not experienced in the past. It's the childlike faith that Serenity is bringing. And the people that have a childlike faith will bring a whole new unity to the church that's never been seen before as well. So this is a very significant day for Elevation Church. This is a very significant day for global initiative. This is a very significant day for individuals like Serenity, Haley, Gabby, Callie, and myself. So we want you to pray for us. We want you to send us in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can do what God has called us to do, and that is to bring heaven to earth while we're there, to be servants like Jesus was while we were there. And we're going to be ministering to children in the West Bank area of Israel, and widows, and also to some pastors in some remote areas. And I have just a couple-minute clip of some of the children that we will be ministering to that I'd like you to see. It's a part of a four-minute clip, but we'll just show you a couple minutes, okay? So if you'll roll that for a minute, and then we'll come back and receive an offering and pray over the team.
That's good. Isn't that great? Yeah. Those are all Palestinian kids. Some of them know the Lord, some of them don't, but we're going to serve their leadership. We're going to serve them, and we're going to be there for 2 weeks, actually 17 days. So we're going to need your prayer. Thank you. Gabby and Haley, will you come up?
Come on up.
And unfortunately, Callie and Serenity aren't here with us this weekend, but you know who they are, and you can pray for them as well.
Yeah. So ushers, if you would come forward, and we're going to pray over you guys. And I expect an incredible time for you guys. Even one encouraging word changes the world. So you go with expectancy, knowing that the goodness of God's going to affect them. But I know you have the right hearts, and you will release his love. That I know. But I also believe there's going to be some really cool reports, too. I guarantee it. And we want you to be able to share those when you guys get back. So would you raise your hand out towards them? Father, I just bless them in Jesus' name. I bless them right now that the atmosphere of heaven begins to permeate. Lord, that there will be a ripple effect in Israel, that Muslims will come to Jesus. Children will come to Jesus. Wives and new pastors, new apostles, prophets, teachers, and evangelists will come and rise from the seed that's invested from this team, from the seed that's invested from this team. And there will be eternal reward, both corporately and individually, credited to our account. By the precious name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Pastor Dennis. So we'll receive that real quick. We're going to dismiss here in just a second. While they're passing the buckets, if you could bring, if our ministry team could come forward. And while they're doing that, I want to leave you with this last word from the message that I just preached. In Hosea 3:5, it says, in the last days, they will tremble. They will tremble. In the last days, they will tremble in awe of the Lord and of his goodness. What would it be like to have the goodness of God hit our region and our world where people are literally trembling at his goodness? Jeremiah 33:9 says, they will tremble with awe at the peace and prosperity I provide for them. How many of you know it's a good day when we're shaking and quaking because of the extreme blessing and abundance of the goodness of God? That the reality of his reward in this world and in that world. I see it. I see people, you have a life-changing paradigm today. When you stand before the Lord, you're not having to worry about your sin because that was dealt with at the cross. When you said yes to Jesus, that was dealt with. When you stand before the Father, you will stand in full confidence and he is going to show you and say to you, well done. Not only good and faithful servant, but saying to us, well done, my bride. Would you stand? Father, in Jesus' name, we say do it again. We've seen healing testimonies. We've seen people radically come to Jesus, even in the last couple of weeks. We've seen things. We're not into hype, we're into hope. And we ask that you release an incredible amount of hope over people today, that there's a trickle effect from this message that people will get, they will have ears to hear and eyes to see. It will shake them and quake them. There will be a shaking like a Christmas tree that's getting rid of all the dead dross, shaking them, and it comes alive and is vibrant. Get rid and prune of all those things. Bring increase, multiplication to every saint here. Father, I ask, as Pastor Julie said in the beginning, that there's a recalibration of all thought processes. Where are we partnering with things that are inferior to your reality? What are we trying to pull out of season that you're saying not to? What are we pulling on that's anesthetizing pain when we going after you and you anesthetize our pain? You bring freedom instead of looking to things of this world to do that. Father, I pray that they let it go and step into your goodness in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. I'm excited. We'll see you next week.
Be sure to visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.